Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in their wilderness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this opportunity we have to come to your house, and Lord, to worship you. And Lord, we call upon you tonight, asking you to guide us with your Holy Spirit, to hear from you, that we might be drawn closer and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that we might trust you in a greater way and experience your great grace in our lives, and that we would even share that experience, Lord, with a lost and dying world. Bless your word, bless your people, build your church, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Overthrown in the Wilderness, and this is really the account that we were talking about this morning. And so if it's an example for us in the Old Testament, and then it's given to us again in the New Testament, do you think God is trying to say something? I think God wants to warn us so that we can experience His victory and His grace and not be dissuaded and not be misled by the world, the devil, the flesh, or even our own heart. So tonight I just want to spend a few moments here and consider three thoughts, and that is important information on Old Testament believers. We'll take notice of that. And then important information on what displeases God, and then written for our admonition. Okay, so let's look at the first four verses here and consider important information on Old Testament believers. And that is, in a nutshell, they were saved by, just like you and I are saved today. And not only that, but they were saved by the same means. Even though they didn't know his name, they still drank of that rock and ate of that meat that was spiritual meat, spiritual food, and spiritual drink indeed that gave them eternal life. And so it's amazing how consistent and how everything fits together in the plan of God. And so notice verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren..." And by the way, let's back up here to chapter 9, verse 26, what Paul is saying here. He says, 1 Corinthians 9, 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In other words, I don't want to do something, preach the truth, and myself not experience it myself, all right? He's saying, I want to, and here's the experience, that God has delivered us, is delivering us, and will yet deliver us. So we don't want to be estranged from the work of the Spirit of God in our own personal lives. We can tell, what a testimony would it be if we say that to the drunkard, you know, God can save you from your alcoholism. Do you believe that tonight? All right. How about to the drug addict? God can free you from the bondage of your drugs. Do you believe that tonight? And yet, how about us? Even though we may not be alcoholics and we may not be addicted to drugs, how about God giving us the victory in the areas that we know of that we need help? Because certainly the drug addict knows he's got a problem. He may not know how to fix it, may not want to fix it, but he personally himself knows he has a problem. Likewise, also, the alcoholic knows they have a problem. And by the way, who knows our problems better than we ourselves? Amen? And by the way, God wants to help us with all of those. So it's important to the believer to say, listen, if we really believe that God can free them, does he want to free us as his children? Absolutely. And so we want to experience that.
And then he says, because of that, he says, moreover, brethren, so we know he's talking to believers. He's wanting to encourage believers, and God is wanting to encourage you and I as believers even tonight. So he says, listen, because he doesn't want to be a shipwreck, because he doesn't want to be one that's fighting the air, right? He wants to be one that has a purpose and is experiencing the purpose of God. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Isn't that amazing? Clouds are made up of water, right? But they went through the ocean, right? They on dry ground, but they went through it and they come up out of it also, which is also the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the new life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this. Fathom this thought. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning our fathers. Listen, we have been placed, those were Israelites. They were Jewish people. We have been grafted together in the whole family of God. Listen, you are of the seed of Abraham if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is that life and that seed. And so God does not make a distinction. Wait. And I don't know any of the details, really. I know just what the Bible says, what it's going to be like to be in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, and in all that he has, all of that's going to work together and come together. You're not going to have Old Testament believers and New Testament believers, and you're not going to have the Old Testament economy and the New Testament. It's all going to come together in a beautiful way to the glory of God, and we're all going to be in the family. We are joint heirs with Christ. And when you see Moses, you're going to have a relationship with him because of Christ. When you see David, when you see all of these saints of God, they've all been grafted in just the same way that you and I have. And so he's saying, listen, he's making this connection, this relationship. Our fathers, when our fathers passed through with Moses there, when they were all baptized, our fathers, you see, God doesn't see a difference. When he places us in himself. And so he says, moreover, brethren, I would not, verse 1, that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? They didn't know his name at that moment, which means Savior, right, in the Greek. So he's the Savior, but there's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you say Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Savior, there's only one. There is no other one. There is no other name in heaven or in earth whereby men must be saved. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be ashamed of that. We cannot be reserved in that, in all Christian love. And by the way, listen, we must, by the grace of God, and I'll say that by the grace of God, not in our strength, but in the grace of God, let everybody know. There is no other name. If you're not trusting in the righteousness of Christ, you will fall short. You will not make it because it's not you. It's either in Christ or it's not at all. And so it's important. And by the way, we're not saying that. I was outside of the economy of Christ. I was brought up as a Jew. And I was still outside of the economy of Christ. Because it doesn't matter your birth, your physical birth, until your spiritual birth is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody is born in sin. Here's the great mistake. Here's what we tell people. We say, well, are you a sinner? How do you know you're a sinner? Well, because I don't do this or I do this, whatever it might be. Do you know, irregardless, if you lived in a box and never committed a sin, you're still fallen from grace? Because you're born a sinner. It's not because of your sins that you're condemned. It's because of your birth that's corrupt. The concept is, well, then if I stop sinning, I'll be right before God. No, 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 no. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's been tainted. It's been marred with sin. And so God says all are unclean. All. And then when we trust the righteousness of Christ, that's imputed to our account for righteousness. So in other words, God says you are spiritually bankrupt. Nothing you can ever do to do anything but receive the gift of life and the righteousness of Christ, his Son, that grants you entrance into the presence of God. That is an important truth that liberates and sets us free. You have a birthright because of the grace of God given to you to come boldly to the throne and call upon your Savior and your God to for whatever the need might be. And boy, oh boy, listen, we have needs that God wants to fulfill. And so we don't earn that right. God is pleased and glorified if we ask him to do that, because then his name is glorified. Because we say, you know what, listen, there's no way I can do what God is asking me to do in my strength. But I call upon my Savior, and boy, oh boy, does he come through. And the world will see that and look at our lives and say, you know what, I see a difference. We get to tell them, we don't tell them, well, boy, oh boy, you don't know how hard I work. Baloney. And cheese, just for the record. We say, what a great God we have. What a great Savior that changes our path. So, listen, I'm telling you, our nature is so strong. Our self-will, we don't even realize it. It is so hard for us to let go of ourselves and hold on to the Lord. So now listen, it is that simple, and yet listen, I know from my own personal experience, it's a battle. And by the way, the battle's not ended the first time we understand that. It's a daily battle to say, I cannot do this. Now, wait a minute. I can do it. I will fail, but I can try to do it in my strength. But I should not do it in my strength, and I should not ever attempt to it. I should call upon the Lord to do it for me. So listen to this. He says, he's speaking to believers, and he says this, but with many of them, in verse 5, the God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, he's saying, I want you, he's speaking to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as of the seed of promise, and he's wanting us to understand that God has provided the way in himself. They began to look to themselves, reason in their own minds, and they stopped trusting the Lord. If we look to ourselves, we will not trust in the Lord. Let me say that again. If we look to ourselves, because here's what we see. Boy, God's got a tall order. I can't do it. The giants are too big. Remember this morning? Oh, the fruit's there. The milk and honey's there. But the giants are going to kill us. I will kill myself. In other words, I will never be able to overcome the problems or the sin in my life. And that is the truth. We can't do it. But can our God do it in and through us? That is the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's not there just to give us information. He's there to empower our lives that we might be the witnesses, not just a verbal witness, but a witness of an exchanged life, not a changed life. God didn't come to change our life. He came to exchange our lives for his. And that's where the difference is at. So he's wanting them to understand that. And he says, but... He's telling all, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to know all these things that God has done and how he brought them through the Red Sea. But, he says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Well, wait a minute. You just got to glorifying the Lord there. You just got to tell me how they all drank of that same spiritual drink. You just got finished telling me that they all ate of that spiritual meat. You just finished telling me that God brought them all the way through. But... with many of them, not some of them, with many, that means there was few that got the picture. That means there was Caleb, Joshua, as we saw this morning, and those that were under 21 years of age that God spared. The rest walked in unbelief. It's important enough for the Lord to put that again in the New Testament for the New Testament saints. Not that the New Testament saints don't read the Old Testament, because God knows we've got the whole canon of Scripture, right? So he wants us to understand that they failed. They've been equipped like you and I are equipped, and if we're not careful, we'll fail the Lord too, because we'll begin to look to ourselves instead of the Lord. So he says, verse 5, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So now he's going to explain to us this information that displeases the Lord. All right, we looked at the important information on Old Testament believers, and that's that they're saved the same way. God had it all planned in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we want to look at what displeases the Lord. Look at verse 6. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." In other words, this is given to us so we can go the opposite direction, not the same way. "Neither be ye idolaters." That's something in front of the Lord. "Neither be ye idolaters." That is something in front of the Lord. Not necessarily a little Buddha statue. It's anything we place in front of God that we're drawn to more than him, that causes us to neglect our communion with him through his word and through prayer. Because that's what he's called us to do. Now, let's guard against the flesh. God is not saying, let me tell you how God sees it. Ready? He just wants us to talk to him. Don't put a set time on there. Prayer is not prayer unless you pray for 5 hours. Who wrote that? That's a figment in the mind of man. You know what? If you're in a pickle and you say, "Jesus, help me," do you think he hears that prayer as a child of God? Absolutely he does. Talk to the Lord and open up his word, and don't put a stipulation on it. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy. You know, people make fun of this, right? How do you read the Bible? I'll ask you that question. You don't have to answer it out loud. How do you read the Bible? I'll tell you how I do it, all right? Sometimes I'll read through a book. I'll pray. I'll ask the Lord, "Lord, guide me. Help me to hear from you." And sometimes God will call a book or a chapter in a book to my mind. Other times he doesn't. So I start flipping through the pages. I mean, flipping through books. I'll turn over to the Old Testament. I'll turn over to the New Testament. And people think that you know, one guy said, I'm looking for the will of God, so I'm just flipping through the pages, and I'm just going to do whatever comes to mind, right? And then he I forgot how it goes, but the last result was, and he went out and hung himself, right? Well, we're not going to do that. But the truth of the matter is, we searched the scriptures. In other words, that was Judas, right? He betrayed the Lord, and then he went out and he hung himself. But we're looking for God's direction. Do you think God will guide us? I mean, where do you want to start? Do you think we should just start in the book of Genesis? That's not a bad idea, and go all the way through the Bible. But I'm telling you, if we just ask the Lord, you'll be surprised how he will call Scripture to mind, or portions of Scripture. And when he does that and you're there, you'll have confirmation, because he will give you something that will speak to you and that will bless you. Don't make it a drudgery. Don't make it a misery. I'm telling you, you can find something that God wants to say to you every day in a matter of minutes. Sometimes this happens too. He'll give you a place and you'll go to it and you'll go, "Wow, that was good." And then something else will come to mind, maybe built upon what you've already started, and call you to another place, and God will bless you over there. And then God will call you to another portion of Scripture, and God will give you something there. And so, listen, God is in the business of wanting to speak to you and I that means something personally to you and I through his word. Some people say, "Oh, I've got to read an hour a day, or it doesn't mean anything." That's not true. Listen, I challenge you to take 5 minutes a day. And you could take less. A few moments calling upon the Lord, "Guide me, God. and in a few moments in his word, and let God prove himself. Prove you the Lord. Prove him, and he will reward our faith for seeking him. All right. So he says, verse 7, neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Let's not be given to that. And by the way, listen, we are being bombarded. I would just tell you this, a wise thing, and I'm not... This is not, you know, this is you decide. Forget the stinking commercials anymore. Just shut the thing off. You know, put it on mute and just wait. Skip it if you can or whatever the case might be. It's just the world entertaining the world. It's just filth, really. Guide yourself. Allow the Lord to lead you to things that are wholesome. But you could just, might as well skip the commercials. I mean, they're just becoming more and more ungodly every day. They're just more and more in your face with things that dishonor the Lord, that we would spare ourselves, you know, the spiritual injury, really, to look at that and to be misled with all of that nonsense. So he says, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do this? Can God do that? Do we really need to ask that question? Can't God do anything that's right? Absolutely. He does everything that's right. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. What does it mean to murmur? Complain. Isn't God good all the time? He is. But why would we complain? Because we're discontent. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you know what? Listen, I used to hear Brother Loman's dad, Chester Loman Sr., I always used to ask him, how are you doing, Brother Loman? Better than I deserve. Isn't that the truth? Better than I deserve. What do we deserve? God's judgment, God's wrath. What have we been given? God's mercy and God's grace. Every day, we are doing better than we deserve. When we complain, we're grumbling with our lot. Is God not over your life? Can we not? We need to find a way to rejoice in him. May we find our way towards him and in spite. Did Paul have some trials and difficulties in his life? Do you think because I'm a pastor and a preacher, do you think that I don't have any, they have perfect lives? I'm glad you laughed at that, because my life is anything and everything but perfect. My life is a roller coaster ride as well, but Christ is the pilot, and so I can trust him because he's the one that's in control. And all I need to do is remind myself and rejoice always, even in the difficult times. Why? Because no matter what, I'm still a child of the King. And no matter what, I'm always in his hands. And you know, when we stop looking at ourselves and start looking to the Lord and to that truth, our hearts will be comforted. And ultimately, we're going to be in eternity forever in the glory of God. Think about that. You and I are going to be in eternity forever in the presence of God, in the glory, in his glory. We will be living in his glory. That's something to stop and think about. And that's what God's grace has granted to us. But we can already live like that's a fact, because it is. Now, we're on this. And by the way, that glorifies the Lord. That brings joy to us and honor to God, and a testimony that the world needs to see. So, when we consider this, we find that God is saying, be careful that you don't fall into these things that displease the Lord. Neither, verse 10, murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. We'll be destroyed also. Our testimony will be destroyed. Our witness will be destroyed. All these things will destroy our walk with the Lord. And God says, don't do those things. Don't walk in that way. And lastly, I want to consider these things that were written for our admonition. Now, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So I want to just look at that word admonition just for a moment. And admonition is the idea of an act or action of admonishing with authoritative counsel or warning. So God is giving an authoritative counsel or warning. Be careful about this. Don't fall into that trap. That's what happened to them. Don't let that happen to you. With many of them, they were overthrown in the wilderness. Be careful that you don't allow that to happen in your life. And so we see this admonition. Then we find a word of warning here in the last few verses here, verses 12 through 15. Notice what it says. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. He's talking to believers. Well, I've got salvation. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a shipwreck. Paul was afraid of that. He said, I don't want my life to be a shipwreck. I don't want to tell people about things that I'm not experiencing in my life. I want to be the partaker in that. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Isn't that amazing? These things are common to us. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. That's a good promise to hold on to. Lord, you will not tempt me above what I can take. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's true, isn't it? You're here tonight. You've gone through some things, no doubt. But you're here tonight. You've gone through trials. If you've lived life for any length of time, you've gone through trials. How many of us didn't think we were going to make it out of high school? I thought high school was like eternity. I really did. I think I was probably 15 or so, maybe in the 10th grade, 9th or 10th grade. And I think I told you about this. I had neighbor Phil right next to me. The next house was Chris and Larry. Across from Chris and Larry was their Uncle Tony. We all called him Uncle Tony. He was a trumpet and a saxophone player. And his dad played drums. They had, anyway, an old band. But anyway, Uncle Tony was the nicest guy, just a very, very laid back. And I don't know what I said or what we were talking about getting out of high school. I think summer was around the corner. We can't wait to get out of high school. He said, slow down. He was about 50. Slow down. He said, you'll be my age before you know it. I think I blinked and I passed it by 10 years. So, you know, life is short. Why would we not want to walk in the truths of God's word and not lean to our own understanding, because our understanding will not lead us toward the Lord. In fact, the way that we think leads us away from God. And he tells us, listen, I want you to know God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We might feel like we're not going to get through it, but the fact that you're here means that you've gotten through some things you thought you wouldn't get through. And so we praise the Lord for that. And he will be faithful until it's time, right? He will be faithful even when it's time. He will be faithful beyond time. And we praise the Lord for that. All right, lastly, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, anything that would step in front of you and your God. I speak as to wise men. Aren't you glad? That's how the Holy Spirit sees us. Judge ye what I say. Judge what was just said. Don't be overthrown in the wilderness. We don't have to be. God has made a way of escape in him. In him, not in us, not in the world, not in the news, not on the internet, in him. And if you're in him and he's in you, you don't have to go very far, do you, for a very present help in time of need. God says, don't be overthrown in the wilderness. I've made a way of escape. Call on me and let me prove myself to you. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the encouragement you bring, the truths, Lord, that you reveal, the power that you desire to place in our lives if we'll just approach you, call upon you, and believe, Lord, your promises. Bless the invitation. May we be strengthened in the faith that you've given to us. May you draw us closer to yourself. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.